Today we celebrate an extremely important feast day, which is the motherhood of Mary. And of course, we need even to make the distinction. It is the divine motherhood of Mary that we are talking about. This is a feast that was actually just instituted in 1931 as the anniversary of the Declaration of the Divine Maternity, which took place in the year 431. And that was at the Council of Ephesus. Now we have to recognize what was going on at that time. They were wrestling with the question of who is Jesus, because people were denying who he was. And it was, you know, as we pray the Hail Mary, Holy Mary, Mother of God. And so that was something people understood, but they didn't understand exactly what that meant. How was this? How could it be? Well, we had prior to that, back in the early 300s, this man named Arius who taught that Jesus was just one of us. He was a human person with a human nature just like we are. And that was condemned at the Council of Nicaea in 325. That's where the creed was written that we pray every Sunday. And it was precisely in response to that. But even with that, okay, he's not a human person, but this question still was, who is he? Well, then there were some who said, well, no, he's a divine person from all eternity. He's the second person of the Trinity. And so the second person of the Trinity came down, and that's all that is. And the church condemned that, and they said, no, it's not just that God came down, because human beings sinned, and it required human blood to be able to remove human sin. And so then there was another guy named Nestorius who thought that he came up with a great idea. And that's to say that Jesus was both human and divine, but that rather saying that, he was a divine person with a divine nature and a human person with a human nature. Well, the church condemned that because that would make Jesus the perfect schizophrenic, two people in one body, and that obviously didn't fly. So the question in all of this was still, all right, then who is he? How do we understand this? Well, then there was somebody else named Apollinarius who said, well, he's God. He's the second person of the Trinity. He took a human body, but he didn't take a human soul. He took an animal soul, but not a human soul. But he did have a human body. Well, that means your body can be saved, but your soul can't. That doesn't work. Church condemned that. Then there's adoptionism. And that is that Jesus was just this incredible young man. God looked with favor on him and decided, I'm going to make him my son. So in other words, Our Lady gave birth to him in person and he became God, which is an amazing thing, because if you think about what we just did in the creed, we kneel when it says the Word became flesh. The flesh didn't become the Word, the other way around. He is God from all eternity. But then we also have docetism, and that is that Jesus was God, but he didn't really have a human nature. He just looked like it. In other words, it was just a mask. It was fake. It appeared sort of like if an apparition appears. There's nothing physical there. If Our Lady appeared to you, or St. Michael, or whomever appeared, you tried to grab onto them, you wouldn't be able to. They look like they have a body, especially if an angel appears, because angels don't have bodies to begin with. And so they have the appearance, but it's not real. That is, it's not physical. Well, the church condemned that and said, no, Jesus didn't look like he was a human being. He was human. So then the question is, who is he? How do we make this point clear? And so as they're trying to deal with this question, they realized the easiest way, the clearest way that they could state it is to be able to announce and declare that Mary is the Mother of God. So the child born of our Blessed Lady is God. So what this means is that the second person of the Most Holy Trinity entered into our Blessed Lady's womb by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he united a human nature to himself. He is God from all eternity. He is the second person of the Trinity. He cannot change. He is a divine person. That cannot change. So he is one person. He is a divine person, and he has a divine nature because he is God. And he took a human nature to himself that he received from his mother. He did not become a human person. He became human, but not a human person. In other words, your personality resides in your soul. Jesus took a human soul to himself, but not a human personality. He had a human mind and he had a human will. He had a divine mind and he had a divine will. But he's only one person. It's confusing. It's difficult to grasp, which is why it took hundreds of years for the church to work this out. And it took a bunch of heretics trying to come up with ways to try and maybe explain it, that the church had to say, no, this is not correct. But what's wonderful about this is that the people of Ephesus, they of course recognize that what the fathers of the council at Ephesus were trying to do was to say something about who Jesus is. But remember, our Blessed Lady went to Ephesus with St. John. That's where she lived. So for the people of Ephesus, they were literally being able to say, she's one of us. She's from our town. She lived here. They knew who she was. And so when this was declared that Mary is the Mother of God, the people of Ephesus took to the streets. They had parades and they chanted, Theotokos, Theotokos, the God-bearer, the God-bearer. They saw this and what it meant for our Blessed Lady. The fathers of the council were trying to say something about who is Jesus, and what they spoke was the truth, but that question of who is Jesus bears completely on the question of Our Lady's maternity. She is the Mother of God, the person she gave birth to, because a mom gives birth to a person. The person she gave birth to is God, one person with two natures. But she gave birth to a person. He didn't become God later on. He didn't become God halfway through the process. He was born miraculously without the opening of the womb. Just as he got in without opening the womb, he got out without opening the womb. So he didn't become God even somewhere along the line. He was God from all eternity. He is God from all eternity. God entered into our Blessed Lady's womb, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, and took a human nature to himself. That is the person to whom Our Lady gave birth. Unlike the rest of us, our life started. Our person began at the moment that we were conceived in our mother's womb. Not so for our Lord. His human life started at the moment that he was conceived. His divine life is eternal. His person is eternal. So unlike us, when Our Lady conceived our Blessed Lord, a new person did not come into existence because he is a person from all eternity. So again, it gets a little confusing. We need to be very clear about what it is that we're talking about. So when we pray in the Hail Mary and call her the Mother of God, that's what we're talking about. The person to whom she gave birth and the person she conceived is God. He is God from all eternity. He is God from the moment of his conception. He is God at the moment of his birth. He is God throughout his entire life, because he cannot change. He cannot not be God. So that's what we're celebrating today, the fact that our Blessed Lady is the Mother of God. God didn't begin to exist in Our Lady's womb, but rather the person to whom Our Lady gave birth is God. That is absolutely necessary for all of us, because our human sins are an offense against God. They have infinite consequences. Only an infinite person can take them away. Our sins, obviously, are committed by human beings. Only human blood can take them away. So we need somebody who is a divine person that has a human nature meaning a human body, human blood, and a human soul. And yet, at the same time, he is God. That is not only to the person to whom Our Lady gave birth, that is the person who has redeemed us. The person who died on the cross is God. The person who shed his blood for us is God. So this has major implications for us, for our salvation, and even for who we are as the children of God, sharing in the divine nature. So all of these things become critically important, but it is absolutely essential that we are clear about who the person of Jesus is. He is God from all eternity with his divine nature, and in the womb of our Blessed Lady, he united a human nature to himself so that one person who is God was born. She is the Mother of God, so that God is the one who redeemed us from our sins, made us members of himself, gave us a participation in his divine nature, and made us, therefore, children of God.